2 Corinthians 11 is where we're going to be this morning. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You won't find the word missionary there because the word missionary is not actually in the Bible, but the role of the missionary is all over the place in the New Testament. What is a missionary? Well, what do we mean by that? Well, it's one with a God-given mission to take the gospel of Jesus Christ somewhere to those who need it. Really, in that sense, we would say any born-again believer is a missionary because you can't go anywhere where there's people who don't need the mission of Jesus Christ. They need the gospel. That's why we have those signs over some of our doors. As you leave, it says you're entering the mission field. And that's a real truth to following the Lord Jesus Christ. You live in a world that needs the Savior. But some people are called to get up and go somewhere else to give the gospel. Somewhere they're not from. Somewhere that they're not maybe comfortable, at least at first. You know, it costs, I said this last week, it costs nothing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It costs you nothing anyway. It costs Him a lot. But it costs plenty to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you're going to obey your Savior and live a life that is, as the Bible puts it, worthy of your calling, that's not going to come easy. It's not going to come cheap, and it sure won't be free. It comes at a cost to some degree, right? And it costs different people different things. What is the cost of God's call to a missionary? What is it about boasting in our misery that we love to do? Have you noticed that? I mean, we just love to one-up on somebody in our misery. I'm more miserable than you, you know. Okay. Oh, you folks down in Indiana think you get snow? Ha! Try 120 inches a year, like we do here. You don't get snow. Okay. How cold does it get where you live? Ha! We can't fill our fingers for 3 months in central New York. And our summers, don't even let me get started on that. It is so humid because we get the worst of both worlds here, where we live. You get how hot? Yeah, see, that doesn't really count because that's a dry heat. So it's a blowtorch. I don't know how that's comfortable. How many pills do you take a day? That's nothing compared to the pharmacy I got to swallow every morning. Look at all these. You're how old? That's not old. You're a baby. I'm old. Every morning I got to put on my eyes, put in my ears, and put in my teeth. You doing that? What's wrong with your hair? Split ends? At least you got ends, lady. Yeah. And on we go about how miserable we are, how bad we have it. And you know what starts out as complaining? Really turns into glorying in agony. And people get really good at that. That was not the Apostle Paul's way. He was a true missionary. God called him, first of all, to salvation, then called him to leave his homeland and go somewhere else with the gospel. He was a missionary to, as we read in our scripture reading, to everybody, to the Jews, to kings, to Gentiles, and he really specialized in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Got out of the land of Israel, went to other places in Europe and in Asia. You can say that we are here at Open Door Baptist Church today because the Apostle Paul was faithful to his calling over 2,000 years ago. See? And he didn't complain. He wasn't a complainer. And he surely did not glory in the cost that he paid to be a missionary. But he did spell out some of that cost in 2 Corinthians. And he didn't want to do that. But he did. Why is that? Well, let's take a look at the reason for Paul's, quote, boasting to the Corinthian church. And the reason had to do with the Judaizers. Now, who are the Judaizers? These were Jews, or Jews who trusted in their nationality, in their prestige, and in their works to gain access to God and to have a position of God. And it was a very worldly way of thinking. And the Apostle Paul came from that. He grew up in that. He called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. The Pharisees were the prestigious group in the Israelite community. They were supposed to be the spiritual leaders. There's some evidence that the Apostle Paul might have even been part of what was called the Sanhedrin, and these were the elitists of the Israelite spiritual leadership. They were prestigious, and they lived cushy lives, the Pharisees did, and they were braggarts. And some of them had infiltrated this Corinthian church, this Gentile church, and the Corinthians were starting to get swept away, almost with a teenager looking to a rock star mentality as they looked up to these spiritual leaders known as the Judaizers. And they looked up to them that way. So the Apostle Paul painted a picture of what real spiritual living was like as a missionary, in contrast to what these Judaizers' lives were like. And so he quote, boasts. Right? Look at verse 16, chapter 11. It says, I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. And you can imagine the word boast with quotes around it, okay? It says, when I speak, verse 17, I speak not according to the Lord. What he means by that is, what I'm about to do was not customary of our Lord Jesus Christ to do. He didn't make a habit of what I'm about to do here. He says, but as it were, foolishly in this confidence of boasting. He says, I'm about to play the fool here to say the things I'm about to say. He says in verse 18, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. In other words, these so-called spiritual leaders you have, who you're looking up to, yeah, they boast, they brag in the flesh. He says, so since boasting is in right now, allow me to do the same, right? Only the Apostle Paul's not going to boast in the flesh. His so-called bragging is going to be in the spirit. He says to them in verse 19, for you put up with fools gladly. What he's saying is, I'm about to be a fool, and that seems to be what you're into these days. He says, you put up with fools gladly since you yourselves are wise, or you could say are so wise. He's using sarcasm. You consider yourself so wise. Verse 20, for you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, one exalts himself if one strikes you on the face. He says, you're willing to put up with foolish boasting from people who will treat you this way. Verse 21, he says, to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that, but in whatsoever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. So, Paul is about to boast in a very different way than the Judaizers. First, it was not to elevate himself, it was to elevate his Savior. He's about to point to Jesus Christ. And secondly, his so-called boasting was meant to help the Corinthian church. The Judaizers bragged just to help themselves. So he's painting a really clear contrast. He's just setting the premise before he goes in to what he's about to say about himself and the cost of following the Lord Jesus Christ to the mission field. Let's look at some of the cost of his call. It's pretty extensive here, though I don't know that he mentions everything he's ever had to go through. But let's look at some of the costs of his call, starting in verse 22. He says, are they, regarding those Judaizers, he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He says, so far, these people you're trusting in because of their position, well, I'm in the same position. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. I'm of Abraham's seed, biologically speaking there. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? And he says, I speak as a fool here. I'm stooping down to talk like this. He says, I am more. He really is. These guys are really not spiritual servants of Jesus Christ. They're not ministers of the Lord, but the Apostle Paul really is. How so? Number one, in labors more abundant. Hard work. He puts in hard work. Jesus Christ accused the Pharisees of living off the hard work of others, not themselves. Apostle Paul says, as a servant of Christ, I got to work hard for this. He says, in stripes above measure. Probably a reference to the stripes on his back. He was whipped by both the Jews and the Gentiles above measure. He'd probably been whipped by so many people and so many times he can't keep track. He says, in prisons more frequently. He says, I've spent more time in prison than these so-called spiritual leaders you're listening to. For his faith, he spent time in prison. In deaths often. What does he mean by that? Because he's not dead yet. Well, it might mean that on many occasions, he should have died, but for God's intervention. He shouldn't be with us to this day, is what he's saying. He says in verse 24, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That's from the Jews alone. From the Jews alone, he was whipped that many times. Can you imagine what his back must have looked like? And we know of at least one occasion where the Gentiles beat him with a whip. I mean, the scar tissue must have just been enormous. And you can imagine every time he went through that, the long, drawn-out healing process. He says in verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods. 3 times. Grab sticks, clubs, beat him. You know, we complain if we run into the door just once. And if you really do a good job, everybody else knows you ran into something as well. Just once. Can you imagine being beat repeatedly? He says, once I was stoned, and we know at that time they left him for dead. Threw rocks at him. He was unconscious. They thought he was dead. They walked away. He survived that one. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was in the deep. We only know of one. There's one record of it, and it's quite an account. What an ordeal. It happened 2 other times that we don't know of. How many of you would go back out on a boat after one experience like that? He shouldn't be alive, folks. People didn't experience those things over and over and over again. He says in 26, in journeys often, in other words, long travels to do what he did. You know, I backpack for a hobby. It's a big deal when I spend three nights on the trail and cover 50 to 60 miles in 3 days. Okay, that's a big deal. The Apostle Paul did that for a living. He walked everywhere. And I'm carrying the latest in gear, you know, lightweight, dehydrated foods. He didn't know where he was going to eat next. It says in verse 26, in perils of water. He said he spent a day in the deep. In perils of robbers? Huh. Again, how many times are you going to get robbed before you say, I'm not putting myself in that situation anymore? Enough of that. In perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles. Man, that's sad when you feel like a person without a country. Because the Jews saw only 2 kinds of people, Jews and Gentiles. Well, because of his faith and his voice in Jesus Christ, he took it from the Gentiles, but he also took it from the Jews. Folks, we're starting to experience that more and more here in the United States. You stand on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're vocal about your faith, it's going to cost you with your own red, white, and blue countrymen here in the U.S. of A. He says, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness. He just wasn't safe anywhere. Now see, depending on how you grew up, if you grew up in a city, you see the city as a refuge from the wilderness, right? If you grew up in the country, like most of you did, you see the country as a refuge from the city. What if you didn't feel comfortable in either one anymore? There's just no escape, no matter where you go. Because of your faith, it cost you. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. That must have been fun to try to figure out who was sincere and who was not. In verse 27, in weariness and toil. He's talking about exhaustion. And you've all had those weeks where just at the end of the week you are just wiped out. Well, this was very common for him. He says, in sleeplessness often. That's really tough when you're working so hard and so long that sleep is just not coming. And you know, sometimes sleep doesn't come only because of the long hours. It comes because of the weight of everything. And you just can't fall asleep, even though you got the time. He dealt with that too. Yeah. Don't think it's a sin because things are playing on your mind over and over again and you're finding it hard to sleep, that's actually just part of the weight of being human. He says, in hunger and thirst. Oh, we come in after mowing the lawn all morning and say, man, I'm famished. No. He really went days without food. Dehydrated. In fastings often, he said, in cold and nakedness. What that means is he probably had clothing, but not enough. Exposure. Exposed to the elements. Not having a place to escape the rain or the cold or the heat. He spent some time in the desert, too. And there's no place for shade. That's rough. Those were some of the costs of his call. Again, that was probably a pretty extensive list. But then, I want you to see in verse 28, this is the greatest cost of his call. He says, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. This was the hardest cost of all. And this is the burden that every true missionary carries. Anxiety for the people he's reaching. You see, all of those other burdens, they were external. Wounds and fatigue and the cold and all that sort of thing. But this burden was internal. The concern for the people that he really cares about, that he's reaching out to, that he's reaching, the churches. All those other burdens were temporary. You're hungry for a few days, then you get something to eat. You're in the ocean for 72 hours, but you get out. But this, he said, he carried daily. He just couldn't shake his anxiety for the people he was giving the gospel to. See, the greatest cost to a missionary is not made up of things that are around him. The greatest cost is within him. You don't just shake that. Do you notice how he ends this in verses 29 through 30? He says, who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who's made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. So I'm not going to boast about how strong I am. I'm going to boast about how weak I am. That's what he's saying. He's saying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows, and I'm not lying, in Damascus, the governor, under Artus, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me. In other words, they were trying to find him within the city. Then verse 33, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. You know how degrading that would have been? To be put into a basket. I tell you what, that is an account those Judaizers would have never admitted to. They had to do that. They wouldn't tell that story. He's glad to tell it. Because it was a very demeaning thing for a man to climb into a basket and run by having somebody else lower him down. It's like, hey, get out of here. To try and put it in perspective. To you and I, it makes sense. We'd be all too glad. Get me in there and get me out of here. How can I say this? Let's go back to the 1960s when it was okay to be a man. And nurses wore white, skirts and white outfits and little hats. And one of you men, you're masculine. You got a chiseled jaw and you got a full head of hair, okay? Although I think Chris is a pretty masculine guy, and so is Dusty. But you're a masculine guy, and you're in a hospital, and they're coming after you, and you're in trouble, and your life is... And somebody to help you says, listen, all the nurses are going out. Their shift's over. A whole crew's going out. Put this dress on. Quick, shave your shins. Get the hair off your legs. And we're going to put a hat on you and a wig, a little bit of makeup. Just walk with them and get out of here. Okay? What do you think, Ron? Ron would say, you know what? Just let them take me and kill me. I'm not doing that. That was how degrading it was for a man, a spiritual leader, to hide in a basket and get out of there. The Apostle Paul is all too glad to share that story. He didn't boast in his strengths. He boasted in his weakness. He didn't glory in himself. He gloried in his Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a cost to this, right? It costs something to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ.